Well, I'd like to illustrate with one of the best known plain song melodies of the Middle Ages, which is an Easter hymn called Victime Paschali Laudes. And it sounds like this. Christians, to the Paschal victim, offer your thankful praises. Now, that hymn, that melody, went into hymns in the Middle Ages. It was used by Luther. It's used in the Genevan Psalter. And so we're going to take a look at it. And if you'll take this nice gray hymnal that you have and turn to the gray hymnal, number 407. That this melody of sequence for Easter Sunday, it comes in this one here. Okay? Only we're going to sing it up here. See? And this is how this sounds. All right? We're going to sing this all the way through and as a refrain. This is a different text than usual, but that's all right. Originally in Easter hymn, they had to do this hymn for Ascension. This is how it sounds. That is a medieval German carol, Easter song, folk song. Luther comes along, and back here on page 398, Luther writes Christlag and Todesbannen, which is based on that song and on the medieval plain song that we started looking at before. Except it's not in this book or anything that I brought along. This is what this sounds like. We have five of the seven stanzas here. This is Luther's version. All right? Familiar to some of you from Bach and other places, this chorale has been used quite a lot. And a lot of churches still sing it on Easter. And you should. This is how it sounds. Then we'll sing it. Let's sing all five stanzas of that. Get used to Luther's version. This same melody shows up in the Genevan Psalter in Psalm 80, which is not in that book. They have a different Psalm 80. So, O Israel, shepherd, hear our pleading. You recognize that? Okay. O Israel, shepherd, hear our pleading. O thou who Joseph's flock art feeding. That's the way that one starts off. And if we studied it, we would find actually this is even closer to the original plain song melody than either of the two Lutheran ones were. Now, that brings me to a few remarks about Genevan psalms. If the Lutheran songs were rhythmical, dance-like, warlike, so were the Genevan psalms. Now, I pointed out to you that Calvin starts off in the earliest edition of the Institutes saying that music is pretty dangerous stuff and that we should only sing. And worship should be spoken in a soft tone of voice when we come together on Sunday. Perhaps if people's hearts really grow in their feeling, they might give expression through song, but only if it wells up from the inside would you allow any singing of anything in the church. Then Calvin got kicked out of Geneva, and for saying stuff like that, he probably should have been. And he went over to Strasbourg, and he discovered that Martin Bucer had everybody singing psalms. Psalms that are very much like the Genevan psalms. In fact, some of them are what we call Genevan psalms. And Bucer said, look, Jean, you're wrong. God says, sing, and then your heart will become inflamed. You got to get together with other people. You got to push yourself into singing and stir your heart up. And Calvin totally reversed himself. And so in the next edition of the Institutes, he says, we need to sing. We need to sing together with other Christians so that our hearts are stirred up, so that we become inflamed and our ardor is charged up to the worship of God. So while he was in Strasbourg, having listened to all these Germans singing German psalms in all this exciting way, like a mighty fortress, and the psalms that they were singing, Calvin became green with envy and wrote the first edition of his Psalter, what becomes the Genevan Psalter, published in Strasbourg for the French community there to sing. And he included singing versions of about a dozen psalms, can't remember for sure, 13, 14, plus the Ten Commandments, the Song of Simeon, and the Apostles' Creed to be sung. And why say it when you can sing it, right? This business of coming into church and saying stuff. Why say it when you can sing it? And so they wanted to sing everything now. As a conservative, Calvin is looking back to the High Middle Ages when people sang without musical instruments and without any harmony and with some rhythm. I showed you that. Okay, we could have sung a lot of things. I could have sung a lot of things to you to show you how there was more rhythm involved in the plain song in the Middle Ages. And that's what Genevan Psalms are. The reason the Genevan Psalms have gone so many places and they work so well is that they don't have harmony. They don't have musical instruments. So they were composed with only rhythm and melody involved. Now, I have to speak to you as a musician here, but if all you've got going is melody and rhythm, you've got to make sure your melodies and your rhythms are pretty good. Then, if you turn around and add harmony to it, you've got some pretty good stuff. But if it can hold its own just on melody alone and rhythm alone, it's pretty good stuff. Now, the Genevan Psalter consists of 150 psalms with 125 different melodies and about 125 different rhythmical patterns. The idea was for each psalm to have its own. Didn't quite work out. 98, 108, 66 have the same tune. But mostly they're different. 77 and anybody else know? I can't recall. 77 has the same tune as another psalm. But these things could go into many different languages. They went into Polish, into Czech, into Hungarian. The Hungarian Reformed Church still sings them. Dutch still sing them. Afrikaans, they sing them in South Africa. They go into English. And they went into English right away. And in London, people were singing Genevan-type songs. They made certain modifications because French is different from English. But basically, it was the same kind of rhythmical stuff. And people liked it. and people got charged up about it. We know that in London, after church let out on Sunday morning, people would kind of gather in the streets and sing half a dozen more psalms. Just, you know, out in the streets. Because this was the thing. Everybody was learning to sing psalms. They had not sung them before. They hadn't sung anything before. And they were excited about it, and it transformed society. Much more than we think. See, as intellectually oriented 18th century rationalists, 18th century rationalists, we all think that everything comes out of the brain. But that's partly true. But the Reformation didn't take Europe by doctrine alone. It took it by psalm singing and chorale singing. Luther was the one who said, somebody else can write the catechisms, just let me write the hymns. Calvin had the same view. Bucer had the same view. Cranmer had the same view. They produced prayer books. They produced psalters so that everybody would pray the same stuff, sing the same stuff, and it would be high stuff. Okay? So that what you came into church week after week praying was not, oh Lord, we just want to thank you for this day. And we just want to thank you that we're all here together, Lord. And we just want to say, Lord, that we're just, Father, you know, that babbling prayer. They wrote it out. You hear it. It's full of theology. See, this is kind of dense. Yeah, but when you prayed it for the 40th time in a row, week by week, you get it down. You know it. Okay, that's the advantage of it. The Catholics did not do that. See, if you grow up Presbyterian, which in the South means you grow up Baptist with sprinkling babies on the side, and, you know, doing things after the Baptist, if the Baptists have Injun Joe come and do his Christian war dance on Sunday night, it's the next week when the Presbyterian Church has Injun Joe come in and do his war dance on Sunday night. Okay, that's how we are in the Southern Presbyterian Church. That's how you are. Okay, look at what the Baptists do and imitate them. And I'm not kidding about that type of thing. It's better now. If Baptists have altar calls, and we're supposed to have altar calls, don't have a Reformed view of what baptism does or anything else. Baptism puts you in the kingdom, all right? You may apostatize, but it puts you there. You're really there. You grow up. Grow up singing different songs, having different people for friends than you would if you hadn't been baptized. Just sociological phenomenon. To start with, you better not talk about that. Better stick with Psalms. Psalms are controversial enough. And the Reformation then did this. Now here on page 6, Psalm 68 in the book that you have, this nice gray book, you have the battle song of the French Reformation. Psalm 68. A Mighty Fortress is a battle song of the Lutheran Reformation. This is the battle song of the French Reformation. It sounds like this. We'll sing it before we're done. But I want to introduce you to it. Psalm 68. Let God arise and by His might put all His enemies to flight with shame and consternation. For when the Lord our God appears, I'm not used to this translation. He will consume afar and near with fire and desolation. This is a war song, all right? Now, this is what the Huguenot French armies sang as they rode into battle against the Catholics in France. And eventually, the Catholics, when they took over in France and defeated the Huguenot on the eve of St. Bartholomew's Day and outlawed them, and the Huguenots would still sing these things in their churches that they were allowed to have. So they outlawed singing it. So they would go around whistling it. And they outlawed whistling it. Because this melody had become so fearful in the ears of the Catholics that, you see, Catholics didn't have anything to sing. What are they going to sing going into the battle? Deo gratias. It doesn't really work for battle, you know. This stuff is much more battle-oriented. Now, as I said, the Genevan Psalms, this style of music wasn't just there. If you pick up the Scottish Psalter today, and the kinds of songs that are there, they are all four square. And they're pretty slow. The Trinity Hymnal's got plenty of them in it. I'm sure there's some in here. And some of them are quite good. Let's see what a common meter hymn would be. Common meter, ballad meter, CM 6868. Or excuse me, 8686. Alright? St. Anne, one of the most beautiful ones in here. Obviously, Psalm 90. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Now that's the way we think of that, except that you've probably made it even worse by singing, our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. So even a little bit of rhythm that might have been there in some other books has gone out of this one. Like the doxology. All right? Doxology is written in 3-2 time. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See? But who wants to sing that when you can sing? Praise God from whom all... You know, that's what we want to do. Okay? But now, in Reformation times, a hymn like this would have been, oh, God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. They would have sung it like that. Now, there's a tune by Thomas Tallis, second mode melody, third mode melody, which we sing in a very beautiful, soft way to... This is what happens when you speak extempore. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Beautiful hymn. Sing it even slower than that. But that's not the way he wrote it. He wrote it for Psalm 2, and it sounded like this. Why rage the heathen and vain things? Why do the people mind? Kings of the earth to set themselves and princes are combined to plot against the Lord and His anointed, saying thus, let us asunder break their bands and cast their cords from us. He that in heaven sits shall laugh, the Lord shall scorn them all. Then shall He vex them in His wrath, in rage He vex them shall. Yet notwithstanding I have Him to be my King appointed, and over Zion my holy hill I have Him King anointed. Now that's, he says this is to be sung in a sharp and barking fashion. Because that's the way you sang Psalms, okay? So in England, in Scotland, everywhere, enthusiastic, vigorous singing was the order of the day. But it all slowed down. I have these nice phonograph records. I have recordings of Dutch psalms sung in large Dutch churches in the Netherlands where every note is sung even. Because every syllable of the sacred text must have exactly the same weight. So, you've got to sing them without rhythm. And that is what came in. Now, among the Dutch, they have organs. So the organ would do all kinds of neat stuff. The organ plays a prelude before the hymn, plays an interlude between every stanza, plays a postlude at the end. There's a whole culture there. It's nice stuff. But it's not very enthusiastic. Now, if you have a church with 3,000 people in it, it tends to slow things down a bit. Okay, the folk song character of your worship tends to go out just a tad. But you still have it, and if we want to become once again a militant dancing church, then we need to learn to sing this way. And then as we begin to write new songs, our songs will have strength and power and not require a bunch of extra stuff to make them sound good. I speak in what I call post-charismatic churches that still have charismatic style of worship. And there's a lot of, well, there's a lot of instruments like that. There's a lot of singing. There's a lot of amplification. And I ask myself, if you took all this away and all you had was the melody, how strong would it be? it wouldn't be very strong. It requires all this extra stuff to keep it up because musically it's not real good. And a lot of the songs are highly repetitious. They're not highly contentful. Our rule for what we should sing is the Psalms. The Psalms are very dense in content. You know, you start reading the Psalms and you get halfway through and you think, where am I? Because they're dense in content. The Psalms, the Bible is written to be heard and read over and over again. That's the style in which it's written. It's not written like a newspaper. And the Psalms are the same way. They were written to be sung over and over again until they sink deep down in. That's why they have rapid movement of content. That's why they have complex content sometimes. We want music that helps with that and doesn't hinder it. Now let's look at a few things to sing, because this session is supposed to be forcing you to do stuff. Look in your book, the one I gave you, at page 10. This is Psalm 124. It's one of the few Genevan Psalms that has stayed around one way or another in the church. Now I'm going to play it for you the way it would have been sung in Geneva and the way we're going to sing it. But it may not be familiar to you this way, and so I want you to hear it this way first. I'll sing it. You can sing along if you want to try. My voice is going out.
Let Israel now say in thankfulness that if the Lord had not our right maintained, and if the Lord had not with us remained when cruel men against us rose to strive, we'd surely have been swallowed up alive.
Now that rhythm disappeared, okay? Like this third line.
And if the Lord had not with us remained,
that becomes this. See, all of those kinds of things in the Genevan Psalms tended to disappear. And in fact, the psalm becomes this. You know, and so forth. Slower. But we're not going to sing it that way. We're going to sing it the Genevan way. I'm going to play it through one more time, and then do your best. I'll play it through. Listen. Hear the rhythm.
Let
Now, if you turn back a page, I'll show you what we like to do when we can. And that is intone the psalm and then sing it. All right? If it had not been Yahweh who was for us, let Israel now say. If it had not been Yahweh for us when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Notice that? That's just the tones from the opening line of the song. So you already know the melody. You can just read this if you want, or you can sing along with Jim. If it had not been Yahweh who was for us, let Israel now say. If it had not been Yahweh who was for us when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us, the torrent would have swept over our soul. Then it would have gone over our soul, the raging waters. Praise Yahweh, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help was in Yahweh's name, who made heaven and earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, age after age. Amen. And then you would just go right into it. That way you sing the actual text, and then you get to sing the dance form of it. All right? What else have we got here in this evil booklet? All right, the very next thing on page 11 is an example of a 20th century style of psalm singing called sprung rhythm. The difficulty with intoning the text is, well, it's not a difficulty, but it's a problem for some people, is if you're just intoning the text, then you're going to be, if it had not been Yahweh who was for us, let Israel now say, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. The rhythm is the rhythm of words. That's why you should read it before you sing it. Otherwise, people start going, if it had not been Yahweh who was for us, you wind up with Anglican chant, okay? If it had not been Yahweh who was for us, let Israel now say. And you have to have that ping-pong ball in the mouth sound that you get from the little boys singing on all of your Anglican chant phonograph records. All right? But we don't want that. We want it to go at a speaking tempo. Well, sprung rhythm, as it was developed in France, means you can keep a rhythm going, but you just stuff all the words in. Now, you all know how to do this because you all sing Three Blind Mice. Three Blind Mice keeps the same rhythm going, but it stuffs in more and more words as you go along. Right? Three blind mice, three blind mice, see how they run, see how they run. They all ran into the farmer's house. You see, you get more and more words stuffed in while you're keeping the same rhythm going. Now, this is an example of sprung rhythm. All right? Psalm 150, and it's an easy example, but I want you just to have an experience of it, and you can sing this if you want. Okay, this is how it sounds. I'm going to sing it all the way through. Then you can sing it, all right? We had some cymbals. We could bash them along with it. Somebody could go over there and hit a drum or two if you want and keep this rhythm going. I mean, this says, praise Him with blast of trumpet. Any trumpets in your church? Then you're disobedient. All right? That's what it says. I didn't write the Bible, folks. Okay? Praising with tambourine and dance, let's not even go there. Praise Yah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty one in his sanctuary. that goes? Oh, yeah. Okay, see if you can keep up with me. But you see, the second line is, praise the mighty one in his sanctuary, praise him in his strong firmament, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him for his immense greatness, praise him with blast of trumpet, praise him with harp and lyre. We can actually get more rhythm going when we get there. All right? It says fast. And that what that means is you sing it fast. Now, you just sang exactly the words of Psalm 150. Okay? Then you could decorate it if you want to turn in the hymnal. I kind of like the one on page 189. It's a different key. But see, now this is going to be a metrical paraphrase. This is not a Genevan psalm. This is a medieval psalm. The Song of the Donkey. All right? French 13th century. Orientis partibus. You have to sing it with the donkey voice when you sing this. All right? We're not gonna. This is by Marie Post. It was pretty sharp. A lot of good stuff in here by her. There's only one thing I don't like in this. It's where it says, shout his power through outer space. It gives me quite, I would rather say time and space. But that's okay. All right? This is how this sounds. A metrical psalm is a sermon based on a psalm. Okay, so we just sang the psalm. Now we sing a sermon based on the psalm. Sounds like this. Wasn't that fun? Don't you wish you got to do that in church? Well, too bad you don't. All right. What is the time? Time is marching on. There's more stuff here that I brought along that we don't have to do at all. Let's go to just page 17. This is something you can use on the liturgy, so it's page 16. You're already pretty familiar with this text. You don't have to sing it. Because if you say it out loud, you're already singing it. Sorry, you know, I know that I have ruined your day by telling you that you're already singing every time you open your mouth. So now you're in trouble, you see. You thought you were just talking, but now you know that when your voice goes out, unless you're talking like this, you're actually singing. So might as well join in. This is how this sounds, and you may speak it, or you may speak it on pitch, and sing along with Jim, whatever you'd like to do. This is not sprung rhythm, Okay, so it's going to be with the Word. Just like you would say the words. All right?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted.
Okay, so that's how that sounds. Let's sing it all the way through together. Or let's talk it all the way through. Whatever your preference is.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for our sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Glory to the Father and to the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, age after age. Amen.
All right, so you survive. Now, just to train you in the right way to do this. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Don't rush through that. Everybody in the world is going to go, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, age after age. So just a heads up for you. That's the way that's done. Fine-tune this. All right? Well, let's do one more thing. Let's sing the battle song of the Reformation. Maybe we Psalm 68. And let me get my preferred harmony book, which is simpler. This is also Psalm 36. I think my preferred harmony is in my head. Just a second. Now, we could play this harmony here, but because these psalms were originally not intended to be harmonized and were intended to be sung fast, if you harmonize them, you will slow them down. Now, the Cantus Christi hymnal, which I know some of you are using, has all of these songs in Gudamel harmonizations, and that's not good for congregational use. Those were designed for family use. Let me discuss that just for a minute. We're going to take a break from Psalm 68 and look at Psalm 2. Okay? Psalm 2. Why do the heathen nations vainly rage? What prideful schemes are they in vain devising? the kings of earth and rulers all engage in evil plots and in their sin contriving. Good militant tune for a good militant text. But if you try to harmonize it, unless your pianist is Rudolf Serkin or somebody, you're not going to get there, you know. Then you get this. Now the tenors are supposed to go. You can't sing that. I can't. No, you can't. Nobody can. So you have to slow it way down. Even that's hard to sing. I know you're not looking at this, but see, this was designed to be sung slowly at home, standing around a table with each person with his own book of music, tenors, subtenors, superioruses and altuses, we would say soprano, alto, tenor, bass, standing around each with his own book singing nice and slow, but in church, you rocked out because you didn't harmonize. So, again, if I play this, I could, with difficulty. If you tried to harmonize it, it would slow things way down. We don't want to do that, okay? There are some songs that are slow and you want to harmonize in church, maybe. But not these. And so, I prefer harmony books that have fewer chords. Now, for those of you that are musicians, looking at this text here, instead of changing the chord on every quarter note, you change the chord on every half note. Like that. Slower harmonic motion in the accompaniment. Now that doesn't mean anything to most of you, so don't worry about it. Okay? This is how it's going to sound. Let God arise and by His might put all His enemies to flight with shame and consternation. For whom the Lord shall appear, He will consume the far and near with fire and desolation. Hoping for His dreadful lyre, as Max is molten by the fire, so shall the wicked perish. But let the righteous blessed of old, with true God in the behold, the victory they cherish. Okay, I'm going to play that again with a little harmony, just a little harmonic flavor to go along. Of course, in Geneva, we didn't have harmony. As you sing marching into battle on horseback, you don't have any harmony, okay? You're just blasting it away. But just to help you out. Okay, let's stand up. And by the way, there's more stanzas on the next page. All right? Now, you need to sing this at least once in your life. And join in with Big John and the Huguenot as they conquered the Catholics. All right?
Let God arise and by His might put off His enemies to fight. Thank you.
He bears our burden. Our God upholds in the strife. Through us He grants eternal life and saves from all the threats. God crushes heads of enemies. He brings them back from farthest seas. For Israel's tribulation, He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death grows high. This God is our salvation.
That concludes my remarks.